This is Deep Dive into Water Safety, and today we have an important guest from the Department of Education. We've been talking about the Hawaii 2025 Water Safety Plan, and in that, we're talk is discussion and plans for how water safety can get back in the schools and what programs and collaborations can work. Research in that plan showed that children 1 to 15 were drowning at a higher rate, local kids, and specifically Pacific Islanders. And today I'm really glad that we have somebody who can speak to us about what's going on in water safety education. And I want to thank Kimi Takazawa for coordinating this. She's the communication specialist for the Department of Education. And today we have George Centeio, and he is the educational specialist for physical education in the Office of Curriculum and Instructional Design, and he oversees PE curriculum and supports all of the teachers in schools statewide. That's a big job. So, welcome, George. It's nice to meet you. I want to start out by telling our listeners you can explain your role. You can talk about why water safety is important to the Department of Education mission, and that Hawaii is surrounded by water, and a lot of kids don't have access. And from what your perspective is, why is this a critical issue for schools to address now? Then we'll go on to a gold standard that I think is the Nakamakai pilot program. And you have a lot of expertise in that. And you can talk about equity, access, and safety, and culture and place-based learning. And then how you think this is going to work, how this pilot program is going to work, that we can see more of that statewide. And then the future of water safety. So we have a lot to discuss. So let's start. You tell me something about your role, briefly, your role at Hawaii State Department of Education Public Schools, George.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Margaret, and for that introduction. Yeah, my primary role as the educational specialist for physical education is to help guide schools and teachers in the areas of physical education and physical activity, promoting the well-being of our students. So that's for me. I also have had the benefit and good fortune of being assigned some projects and doing a lot with our water safety initiatives and working with community partners such as Nakamakai, who you mentioned, and some others that I'm sure we'll talk about as we go. So my main role is supporting schools with training resources, in the areas of physical education and physical activity. I think another thing you asked was why does ocean safety matter with the DOE? So I can start with just, as a Department of Education, our mission, if you look at it, our primary goal is to create students who are globally competitive and locally committed. And we want to enable our students to possess the knowledge they need to thrive in this rapidly changing world while being grounded in HA. And if you're familiar with that in the department, that's a framework. And HA, or breath in Hawaiian, we use those words. They each represent something. So belonging, responsibility, excellence, aloha, total well-being, and Hawaii. So that's kind of embedded throughout all of our educational experiences and something we try to do in the department, keeping it culturally grounded. And there's three priorities in the department. Those are to provide high quality learning for all, to create high quality educator workforce, and running effective and efficient operations. So I know there's not a lot of mention of water in that, what I just shared, but we do realize we're living in an island state in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and we want our students to be prepared to live and work on the water, whether that's in water safety, in career and technical education, or even being good stewards of the ocean. So it, of course, includes understanding and respecting our waters to keep themselves and their loved ones safe. So it is a critical issue for the state. We do know that Hawaii ranks number two in the nation as far as drownings annually. And you mentioned some of that data and stuff in the beginning. And we did get to see the Hawaii Water Safety Plan when it was released last year. And it helps us to see and where the greatest needs are and to make data-informed decisions. So since the plan was released, one of the things in there was, and we were aware of this, but it was highlighted in there that from basically the whole west side on the island of Oahu, from Nanakuli out to Waianae and beyond, there's no community pools. And so there's that lack of access there. And so this pilot program was started with Nakamakai to ensure that basic water safety knowledge reaches our keiki. And this supplements another project we have, which is work in the Kalihi community, which is a more urban setting on Oahu, surrounding Palama settlement, where we have, four elementary schools in walking distance where they would walk to the community pool and get instruction in the pool. And when you think of this, I'm sure listeners, people are wondering, what does that look like? Are we doing, butterfly stroke, and what's the thing? And a lot of it is basic competency. So it's entering and exiting properly, it's floating, treading water, these types of things, and also some basic swim skill as well in these programs. So I mentioned the Palama was just more of a walk to school to a community pool model, and then the Nakamakai was kind of our opportunity to look at what it would look like transporting these kids down to the ocean and getting them doing the lessons there.
So I think, as I've said before, Nakamakai to me is a gold standard, and I'm sure you'll get research results from their pre and post work with those kids and from the school district, which will be interesting and good data for you, along with the Palama piece. But before that, you've done some great work with Duane in trying to figure out how to get water safety back into the schools. And that's about 5 years ago, as I remember. Because I've seen his program on his website. It's got all this great information. It's got Kai, it's got Children of the Sea music. And I was told by Duane that you, because I've heard your name mentioned, George, got us into the schools through PE. So could you just kind of explain that as a backstory to where we're going here?
And I think just to, to clarify that, and George was the steward, and I helped to shepherd that process along. But really, Dwayne and his organization, Matt Cowie, and a bunch of the others there that do such amazing things on a daily basis with not only students that come after school and in the summer and on the weekends and stuff with them, but also adults and educators that they go out and have clinics to teach folks how they can teach students. So, they've been at it for a long time, and they're rooted in the islands with their cultural practices and stuff, which makes, I think, it a little unique, and special. And so they've been a great partner for us. And yeah, as you mentioned, I think it was about 5 years ago where I had, some conversations and worked with them. And basically, the department for the last 5 years has been pretty committed to printing and distributing their, very good ocean safety, and stewardship awareness activity book. So it's not only things like knowing your limits and asking a lifeguard and rip currents and some of these basic knowledge concepts, but it also talks about, caring for land and ocean and how that all comes together. So we're, very fortunate to have that partnership. And what we do is we put out an annual memo to our elementary schools within the department, which basically requires ocean safety education. And with that, we empower them by sending printed color copies for a grade level. And also in that memo, there's links to various resources like the ones you are talking about, and whether it's, lifeguards giving basic tips and things, or an animated series that they released, I think a couple years ago now, but with lots of cool information for kids. So that's come a long way. I know prior to that, Duane used to do some just hit the ground, go to some schools. Like I seen some videos with when he brought Kai Lenny into a classroom and introduced and talked about these things with the students. But that was kind of, one school here, one school there in his community. And where we've grown, at least with this pilot, is to see in the complex area of Nanakuli Waianae, all the fourth graders had the opportunity to get transported down to the ocean and do in this model, it's 5 1-hour lessons down at the ocean. And that includes, in the ocean as well as land stations. And so it's a very robust program in that it's not just treading water and swimming and things like that, but they're learning about winds, currents, even the Hawaiian Star Compass and those types of things to get more comfortable with their environment and again connected to the place that they live.
Well, I think it sounds like a great pilot program, and I think we can talk more about how you think that's going to progress. But what I want to know is, you're saying that water safety is required in the elementary schools, but we've been talking for the last 6 months about this, about how do we get water safety back into the school. So I guess I need to clarify what's going on that we have water safety in the schools. So tell me.
Yep. And so, that same research you were referencing earlier, research shows that the earlier you do this, the better for prevention and preventing drownings and stuff like that. So, usually that range is between second, third, fourth grade. We like to give schools flexibility. We don't want to dictate and mandate that everybody must do it this way. And so what we do when we send those activity books and stuff out, the expectation is that every elementary school in the department will target, one grade level. So that might be fourth grade. Another school, it might be third grade. But the idea is that there's consistency where, every student as they come through, let's say in fourth grade, they're going to be doing the activity book, watching the videos, and getting that. That's one form. I may be a principal that has a strong connection to a community partner like Nakamakai or a Palama settlement. And we go a step further and we actually go to the pool or go to the ocean and do some lessons in the water. So, but at a minimum, what we're trying to do department-wide is give resources and get information out where at least they're getting a basic cognitive learning and then allow for people to do more, where it's applicable and where it can meet. As far as, how do we know where are we going from here? I will say that, as I mentioned earlier, I'm the physical education specialist. So we're actually updating our physical education state standards at the moment to more closely align with the new national standards for physical education. And an interesting aspect of that is both in our state and the national standards for physical education previously, water safety was not included as a grade level indicator or as a standard within the standards that should be addressed. When the new national standards came out, it does include basic water safety skills. And in our current state standards, we're currently convening our standards review work group, and the consensus has been people value it, and we definitely want to include that in our state standards as well. That'll have to go before the board and get approved and stuff, but that will be one aspect where then that's a part of physical education knowledge and learning, amongst many other things, locomotor skills, manipulative skills. You've seen pickleball and the explosion, but using short-handled implements and long-handled implements. But swimming could be, another thing that is checked off and addressed in physical education as well. So that'll be the work ahead, is looking at what's the best way to make that come to life in Hawaii for our teachers and our schools, to make sure they have a basic water safety component. What does that look like? So that'll, I'm sure, involve collaboration with our lifeguards, with folks like Dwayne and other organizations, experts in our backyard, to kind of help inform maybe what are some of the key things we should have in there.
Well, that sounds like you're trying to collaborate, and that's great. We know that drowning is preventable, and we know, as you just said, we have the second highest drowning rate in the United States. And if you look at us geographically, we're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Most of the people I've had on have said it seems to be, should be a priority for us to have water safety education as a priority in the schools because of we're surrounded by water. And according to Wayne, he feels like we have, neglected our youth in this area. And he has, with this pilot program, put a very good program together, as you have described. And we will know more about it after you get results. But there, as I met Kalani Vieira when I first joined Kauai Lifeguard Association, and there was an article saying by Sarah Fairchild and Bob Titian that Hawaii should be the leader in water safety. And absolutely, there's no doubt we should be. And one of those ways is to move forward with a more standardized water safety priority in the schools. We know that Australia has a really good program. We know the UK also has that. And in Singapore, it's like taking a math or a science proficiency for each grade. There's water safety proficiency at each grade. So it's interesting models, whether they fit for us or not. I think, as you said, there's a lot of good people trying to make this work, and I think it will work. And as Duane has told me, he's worked on this for almost 2 decades. The word is perseverance, right? We just have to keep moving forward on it.
Absolutely. And that might look different, again, in different lessons at different schools with different teachers. And just to give you an example, if you're teaching, I mean, a basic water safety skill or knowledge concept is, to protect yourself when somebody's in trouble or whatever, not to jump in and go rescue, but to have something. And what does that look like? So just to give an example of what that might look like in a PE lesson is if you had, like the pool noodles, the
Right.
foam pool noodles, and pretend that that was a stick or a life-saving device, and it's like let's role play if somebody were drowning here, what would that look like? And you extend this to go rescue somebody, and what that's doing is giving them a chance, but also not putting yourself at risk. And so there are concepts that we can teach again without being in the water. Obviously, that's a more contextually based experience if they can actually get in and do that. But at a minimum, we want to be able to get those basic water safety skills, across to the kids.
Right. Mike Tipton brought on the fact that they did all this research that just one half an hour lesson made a huge difference to students. And yes, the experience makes a difference getting out and doing it. And Bruce Hopkins from Australia may be coming over here to do rip current demonstrations because most people don't know what they look like or how they feel when they get in them. So you're right, the experience is very important. But if we make it a state priority and we continue to work in that direction and we use pilot programs like the Kamakai and the one that you're talking about with Palama, that makes absolute sense to move forward and learn from those and to adapt what we can to at least get something started. When will you know more about Nakamakai's pilot program? The results of that, will you get that?
So I work closely with them, and they wrapped up the program. We are still awaiting the data, but I do know that all of the students, as part of it, when they got in, they do a pre and a post assessment with them. So the instructors are real good about assessing their level of where they're at when they start and where they finish. And that's really where we want to see over those 5 lessons. And just to elaborate a little bit more, the folks at Nakamakai thought it was important to keep it consistent. And so that's the model we worked out. They put a lot of thought into that because there was ideas of like, let's spread it out and go once a week for 5 weeks or whatever. But the way we ended up implementing it was the students would go every day, 5 days in a row for an hour. And that way to kind of cement the knowledge and, it's fresh and they continue with that. And hopefully what we'll see is from when they started to when they finished, increased knowledge, increased competency, and increased confidence. And I will share that towards the end, we got to go out and visit. Some of us from the DOE were out there and got to see it in action. And that was really cool to see. But I still remember early in the morning, the kids running down with their slippers off or whatever and getting excited to go in. And one of the girls at one point came over and she was a new swimmer. She was from Leihoku Elementary, was the school we were watching that day. But she was sharing with us how she learned to be confident while swimming as a part of this. And that newfound confidence that she got just from, 5 days of getting this instruction and getting in the water with this individualized instruction, hopefully will extend to other areas of her educational journey. And those are the kinds of experiences that hopefully will have lasting impact with the kids. So yeah, we're looking to get the data and see the impact of those 5 lessons in a row and what that looked like on the student learning. But just anecdotally, a lot of positive feedback from the kids, a lot of excitement. And I will share, as a physical education specialist, I do appreciate any time our children can get up and moving and be doing physical things whether that's before or after school activity in the classroom, because we know research shows healthy students learn better. And I bet that those kids, after going and swimming and running on the beach, and they were probably more focused and more engaged when they got back in the classroom. And I think that's an important message too for folks that, maybe on the fence of like, I think, we don't have time for something like this. It's going to hurt us. A lot of times those physical activity opportunities can actually help support and enhance the learning for our students.
I agree with that message. I definitely agree with that. So I hope you get that research so that we can move forward because, especially in elementary school, that's really, really important to get people, kids understanding those things and getting them to water if we can. So what,
Hey, Margaret,
yes.
it's important for elementary school students. It's important for adults as well. And so,
Ah, well, yes.
in all circles, it should be encouraged. And
I
it's a
agree.
great for everybody.
No, I agree. As I had a guy, David Samuel from Surf Life Saving UK, who has a new program called Sandhoppers. It's for parents and kids. So you find that a lot of kids that aren't swimming or doing things is probably because their parents haven't had exposure either. So this way, the kids are and the parents are learning how to float during survival skills together, which I thought was a very good model. And you're right, everybody should be able to get in the ocean safely and know how to survive, right? By floating and other skills, and hopefully can swim. That message goes out to everybody, visitors, residents, everybody.
No, that's a great way to engage families, and they're an important piece of this as well. I know, we're talking or what is and can the department do, but it is a shared effort, and a lot of that starts at home with parents. And I'm a parent of four. I got four little ones, and we take them to the beach and a pool and stuff often. But I make sure to point out things like we listen before we go out. We look at the tides, read the current, and those things. And so some parents may not be that comfortable, but it doesn't take being an expert of the ocean. But just use your basic, like paying attention to warning signs, going to beaches with lifeguard stands, talking to lifeguards, knowing your limitations, and even in a pool setting, not just dropping them off at the pool or having a conversation and not supervising. So sometimes just
Right.
that general supervision, those are all things that parents and families can do to help, as well as provide swimming lessons and things if that's available to them, or they could do that.
Right. I think that's trying what we've been trying to do is amplify that message, and the message doesn't just go out to visitors, it goes out to residents and families about what they can be doing. And I know the Department of Health came out with a program that said phones down, eyes up, right? And the lifeguards that we've interviewed will say the same thing. They're watching constantly, and they can see if they're seeing the parents are just sitting there on their phones where their kids are in the ocean. So all those things are very important because the ocean changes so drastically. It could be calm 1 minute and very different the next. And so it's just a matter of continuing to talk about it. And understanding what the Department of Education's mission is and how they feel about water safety, that's very important. And I think the two pilots that you're doing show some development in the direction of water safety. And when kids come home from school, they can be talking about those things to their parents, to their siblings, to their friends. And everybody kind of learns from that situation.
And those, like I said, at the current time, those are the two models that we're kind of exploring and working with, is that community pool within a walking distance and trying to get as many schools as you can in that type of setting, and then also transporting them to the ocean. And again, there are other elements that come into play when you're talking about the ocean. So from a safety standpoint, and again, we are very fortunate to be able to test and do this out at Pokai Bay, where Nakamakai has their halau, and they have a presence there, and it is very calm, and it's a controlled environment. So it's a great start, and there may be future and other potential solutions as well in different communities. So I think that's kind of the road ahead, is seeing what other partners and organizations can provide these types of services, and then how can we make that available to schools who are interested?
Well, I think that's important. Maybe some pilot program. You've got these on Oahu. Maybe you need a pilot program on Kauai, one on Maui, and one on the Big Island. We have the Dorego Foundation, and she's been volunteering doing a lot of work there. I don't know of anything on Hawaii. I know that a charter school, Nahamahana, did a program this summer that was very well accepted, and it was for middle school kids. And the guards, the lifeguards with Kalani Vieira supported that endeavor. And as you said, there are kids that were had never been in the ocean or very, very little of time versus those who are good swimmers, but they spent time with each group. So that was interesting. Kalani thought it was a very good program that they did. They had instruction in school, and then they had some time at the ocean, and it was the beginning of the school year. So it's those kinds of things to look at. Maybe each island needs to do it a little differently. I don't know.
And of course, there's always that potential risk with those things. So it is important. We do have some guidelines to follow that to ensure that everybody's safe, because that, is obviously a big concern, and we want to make sure we're addressing that. So there are some guidelines for that. Whenever we do things like that, where having a lifeguard present, there are certain ratios for different
Right.
grade levels. So, for instance, with the younger ones, we have like a 4-to-1 student to instructor ratio in the water, as well as additional supervision. And so that's important, and something we value as well.
Well, George, I've heard a lot about you in the last 6 months from Dwayne DeSoto, who told me that he's been doing this for so long and it's perseverance. But George Senteo is the person he's talked about that got him into the schools. So I look for big things from you, George, to continue this work on getting water safety as a priority in the schools. And I know you say you have it in the schools, but I think we can do better. I think we can up the ante here. And maybe, as you said, it's not just for the kids, it's for adults also. You know, how can we as a community become more water safety proficient, right? That we understand how to float, we understand how to survive in the ocean that we're surrounded by.
And again, happy to help with the cause, but I will come back at you with that. And thanks for the kind words. And Dwayne, he is an awesome individual and does things the right way. But yeah, I'd be remiss without saying, like, it's all credit is due to him and the great people he has in his organization. They're the ones day in and day out that live and breathe this in their communities, and it does make a difference. So I'm happy to support it in my role, and it's
Good.
one of many. Like I said, I got a lot of things on my plate in terms of getting our kids healthy and active and physically literate individuals. But this is certainly an aspect of it, and I'm happy to help with those partnerships and work through. And that is kind of where we fit in. On the education side, we want to make sure that there's good education across the board, but also facilitate and work on those partnerships to allow more in-depth learning where it's applicable and when it's available. And just going back to the standards I was talking about, the PE standards, just to clarify, in the
Yeah.
national standards, the indicator simply says like basic water safety skills. Like that's kind of the expectation, which is more of cognitive, like we're talking about understanding rip currents,
Right.
like, learning these things. But it leaves the door open. So it just says that where pool facilities are available, then basic swim skills like should be taught as well. So it does leave that door open for schools when there are partnerships and things like this in their community, or if they have access, that is something that they could address. But again, at a minimum, at moving forward, we're going to want, everybody to have this basic knowledge, and we'll have to see what that looks like to kind of see how that would come to life in a lesson in your schools.
Yes, that's what I'm looking forward to. That's why I keep doing this show and everybody keeps going. Kaina Makua goes, Margaret, I don't understand. It should be in the schools. I said, did you call the governor? No, not yet, Margaret.
Kaina and his organization do a lot of great things as well. So
Yes.
we've had the opportunity to see some of their work and partner up with them as well.
Yes, you
Great
could
stuff.
probably do a pilot program with him on the west side. There is an idea. Well, I'm just putting it out there. Okay, so do you I think you've answered all my questions because you're so good. How do you think parents and communities support schools in making water safety a shared responsibility? How can parents and communities?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, again, starting with the department is very fortunate to have partners, community partners like Nakamakai and Palama Settlement. That's a couple of examples who are offering to help teach our students water safety, including swimming. We welcome those partnerships. They're essential. The department can't do these things alone. But like I mentioned earlier in our talk here, the education starts at home with parents and families. And again, you don't have to be an expert waterman or water person. It's just teaching basic safety and having supervision, teaching awareness about hazards, conditions, paying attention to those, knowing your own limitations, and being that education for your students. I know our superintendent, Keith Hayashi, often uses the term "nehe papa," which is strongest together. So, in a
Yes.
way, we can leverage our collective mana'o as parents and community to keep our students aware and safe in the water. So it's certainly a collective
Team effort.
effort.
Right. Like paddling a canoe. I outrigger paddle, so I understand that concept. I'm
There you
sure.
go.
Okay. George, I'm still going to say I expect to hear more things from you in the future. I'm going to have you back on with any kind of new results of this work and any new pilot programs you may want to. And there's Kalei Clark. He's another good source of information who did the research that showed the disparity of Pacific Islanders. And he is the great great nephew of Duke Kahanamoku. And he is a master swimmer, grew up in New Zealand, and learned about all the disparities with the Maori population. And when he came here to do his master's degree, decided he was going to study. And based on that, came up with some research that segmented the data out and said, wow, we really have done a disservice here, and we need to do something about it. He's a very good researcher and a very young person who has done great things, I think, and we'll see a lot more from him. He's with the Department of Health. Yeah, I have his contact. I could give it to you. So, George, we're going to continue this conversation on KKCR Deep Dive into Water Safety with lots of people internationally and nationally and locally, and continue it with the Department of Education because they play a big role here in getting water safety, continuing to see it. So, what could you leave our listeners with? One message about the importance of ocean and water safety education for Hawaii's children. What would it be?
Yeah, I think to sum it up, we kind of talked about it all throughout this call, but I guess to sum it up, I would say a shared kuleana, where parents, community organizations, state agencies, Department of Health, Department of Education, other agencies working together to increase students' water competency, and also keeping mind of the cultural alignment, not only for safety, but also to foster the next generation of ocean stewards. So basically, in a nutshell, when we work together, great things can happen for our keiki. So happy to be a part of what we're doing, and look forward to continuing to work through this. And yeah, maybe when we take the next baby step, we can catch up with you again.
George, for all our listeners, this has been George Zanteo. He is an educational specialist for physical education in the Office of Curriculum and Instructional Design for the Department of Education for Hawaii. I am so pleased to have had you on. You've given us some great information, and I'm hopeful that this is moving forward in the right direction, that we're going to continue to be a leader, hopefully, in water safety, and the schools will continue to get the water safety education standard. As you're saying, you're working on that. So I appreciate that very much for coming on. And we will have you back on, George, because I can't let you go.
Well, it's nice to meet you, Margaret. Thanks. I learned a lot as well. I got some notes and some names and different things that you shared, so
Well,
appreciate it.
anything you need, just let me know. I'll be doing some more interviews and I have some good contacts.
Okay, will do.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.